This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See live off the record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. International Women's Day is today. So glad that you could join us. And I have one of those dynamic and powerful women joining me today, as she has on previous occasions. I have the one and only Mrs. Laverne Gardner with me today. Happy International Women's Day, Laverne, and to all of you women in the Bahamas listening to us and elsewhere in the world today. Welcome, Laverne.
Thank you so much, and happy Women's Day to all of my sisterhood out there. I hope that you are finding a way to celebrate womanhood.
Yes, indeed. So if today you want to, and I truly hope that women in particular will weigh in today and call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can WhatsApp us or me on 439-3043, or you can text me on 422-4796. We're happy to hear from you. Today we are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother, a woman, listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. Today, the United Nations has declared, and then you have this movement for this observation of day to celebrate the achievements, accomplishments, and to acknowledge the challenges faced by women in respect of achieving parity, that goes way back to 1910, when the issue was raised at a meeting in Germany seeking to have this kind of a recognition for women. And so today we're gonna focus on women and their issues. And while as a man, I think I can talk about issues related to women, it's useful to have a woman who is capable of representing that interest entirely more intimately than I can. I have had the privilege of being born to a very strong woman, to have been surrounded by very strong women, whether they were my aunties or my sisters or people I grew up with in the church, including among them Laverne's mother, Izetta Bain. I have had the privilege of working with some very strong women. I have as friends very strong women, and I am married to a dynamic educator of a woman. And my experience with women has been one to show me the great strengths and virtues of them. And of course, like us human beings, aware their challenges exist all around. So I'm happy to join with all the Guardian Radio and all others who are celebrating women this day. I have the benefit of an executive assistant and colleagues at the Government and Public Policy Institute and at the University of the Bahamas, with whom I work, some very powerful women. And so again, it's good to be able to have that dialogue today. Right, Laverne?
Yes, I'm excited to be here for us to have the conversation.
Yeah, well, let's start with just achievements of women, right? Let's start there in terms of, you know, what women have been able. And listen, guys, today don't get stressed, right? In case you all didn't know, the United Nations has many declared days. I do believe one of them is International Day of the Man, of the Man too. So, but today we just not focusing on you today. So don't feel bad. Don't get concerned. Ain't nobody trying to push you back in the corner. You know, it's just today's International Women's Day. So we're going to look at achievements of women. I mean, you know, and we have scores in our Bahamas. If we even start with the great effort led by so many powerful women to achieve women's suffrage, even the extent to which yes. the Bahamas achieved majority rule was something that women played a significant role in. Over the course of the political history of the Bahamas, women have been forces within the political arena and within the political parties, whether they came to be members of parliament, senators or not, or cabinet ministers or not, they were the ones who were king makers in many instances, right? We've got in our business community women who have achieved enormous feats, whether in creating a business from start or managing a business to growth and success. You've got women in the Bahamas who've done that. We've got women leading major institutions in our country who have led major institutions in our country, whether it was the central bank, whether it was any one of our courts, the judicial system, who've led, who've been leading ministries as permanent secretaries and directors of departments. We've had women accomplish an abundance of things. And if you expand that across the globe, listen, man, we don't have enough time. We won't have enough time.
No,
women have made their mark.
Absolutely. You know, Shivago, one of my favorites, and, you know, like you said, there's so many. But when I think about women and, you know, just from a national point, I can say that one of the women that I don't know what it is. I can tell you honestly that I've never met her personally, but I've always been fascinated with Dame Janet Bostwick. So, you know, I always try to read up what she's done. And like you said, she's been the first. She's had many firsts in her life and her achievements, you know, Secretary General. I think she was president of the Bar Association. You know, you probably have more details than me. Attorney General. I think she was also, if I'm not mistaken, a one-time Minister of Foreign Affairs, Social Services. Yeah. She's top tier.
Absolutely. And I've had the privilege of working with her, and no doubt. I mean, you know, I have been able to work with either on the side or opposite to many of these women. We have, for instance, in Cynthia Mother Pratt. She yes. was the first female to occupy the post of Deputy Prime Minister in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Dame Ivy Dumont, our first female Governor General.
General.
Again, mm-hmm. a powerful woman. You have people, the late Teresa Marcy Ingram, again, powerful personalities, whether in the educational realm or in the political realm. And so we have certainly had Glenys Hannah Martin, you know, these have been some potent personalities, present and past, insofar as our politics is concerned. I would tell you, though, I'll tell you, though, Laverne, when I think about, you know, setting aside the obvious, you know, we all, so many of us have great admiration for our mothers who have done so much to help us get to where we are. But putting aside mothers for the moment, just for me, I have to tell you that among some of the most potent personalities have been the female teachers that I have had. Potent. I'm talking about people who woke up my mind and consciousness to learning and education and what it takes to succeed in that regard. And I know the extent to which they labored and did so, and for countless hours, unpaid for many of those hours, because they believed that about the educational system that and the students that they had. And so among some of my most admired people have been some female educators that have come across my path.
Oh, I have to agree with you. You know, I think back to my years and who I've been fortunate to come across in the field of education and teaching and just the passion and you know, like you said, the inspiration, their love and excitement for whatever their subject matter was that became infectious. So I have to agree with you. I absolutely have. Outside of, like you said, your mom, you mentioned it earlier, you know my mom, and you know strong female she is, and you know, she raised us and raised us well, I may add. And so of course we think about all of those mothers and those people, like you said, those educators who made such an impact. Some instances they were the difference. They made the difference between you passing and failing. In some instances they made the difference between you dropping out of school and continuing.
That's for sure, and so today, as we honor women, if you want to call, text, and you have a woman in your life, someone who you admire and know, and you want to call their name today and say why it is that you admire them, then we are happy to do that for you. So feel free to call or text with any celebration of, any commendation of women on this International Women's Day. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. When we come back, we're going to continue our International Women's Day celebration.
We're not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her big head them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get all mixed up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon where we are celebrating International Women's Day. I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner of Mixed Views. And we're talking about women, their achievements. We get to some of their challenges, too. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text is, "Hi, Chicago. Glad you're back. Happy International Women's Day." By the way, let me tell you that I caught a little bit, not much of Carlos Marquez's hosting of the show yesterday, which I am so grateful he was able to do. He's always really responsive when I call on him, but in the parts that I heard, he was just brilliant. I literally, honestly, this is God on the truth. I was saying as I listened to him, I said, this young man has a clarity beyond his age, it seems, right? And so I want to thank him for ably filling in for me yesterday. Thank you again, Brother Carlos Maki. As I said to you privately, I say to you publicly, thank you again. Laverne, I'm trying not to get myself in trouble.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So just go ahead.
You think it's inevitable for me to do so, hey?
Yeah, it's inevitable. Accept it and go on.
Okay, so anyway, but maybe this will get, maybe we can start with not too much trouble first. So in the context of the Bahamas, okay, in the context of the Bahamas, like, is there a collective women's struggle that you can identify? Like, things that you will say are happening uniquely to women that are challenging women and that women need have addressed. Would you say you are aware of any? I have a couple, but I just want to ask you.
Well, for me, and I guess when you look at it, it could happen to men as well. But for me, one of the things that has really been uppermost in my mind and my concern, of course, is marital rape, and made more so by the responses that have come out of this discussion, have come out of this conversation, has come out of this decision to see how, if, why it should be made law. And or the law should be amended. And that's one of the things that's been of great concern to me. And like I said, what has been most disconcerting, I think, has been some of the responses that I've heard, in conversations and people speaking publicly or privately, and not always coming from men. But so that's one of the things that's uppermost in my mind.
And, you know, I would say rape is a I think, a great issue to cite, because it is in many ways a uniquely bi. Because rape is about force.
Right.
Physical force. And by and large, women are more likely to succumb to some physical force of abuse than men are. In a male-female relationship, it'll be a very unique circumstance in which a man is able to say he was overpowered by a woman and she raped him. I didn't say it can't happen.
Right.
But I would say that the skew in that regard is uniquely female.
Yes.
And it isn't only marital rape. It's rape, period.
It's rape, period.
That rape as a matter of violent force perpetrated against an individual is more often going to be the male doing it to a female than the female doing it to a male, because of the sheer biology of the human race, which is that if a man and a woman did the same amount of exercise, it ate the same things, that the physical structure of the man will still come out stronger because of the biology of his musculature. So it is a uniquely female problem. Violence, for instance, and gun violence and these kinds of things is uniquely a male problem.
Yes.
Because males are more often perpetrating violence on males. But domestic violence is more uniquely a problem. Forget the rape now. Just physical abuse.
Just violence. Yeah, violence. Just physical violence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that those are definitely unique challenges to women, for sure. Any other challenges you could identify uniquely? I know we have the issue of passing on of citizenship, and yes, there are categories in which that uniquely affects women. Well, it affects women, but there are elements of that affect men as well. So there are some inequalities even in relation to men in that regard. Are you still there, Laverne?
Oh, I'm sorry. I went out for a few minutes. Something happened with my internet, so I missed some of what you said. I'm sorry about that.
I was saying that certainly passing on citizenship has elements of it that are unique to women vis-a-vis men.
Oh yeah.
But there are some aspects of it that also has men as suffering some inequalities. And some men didn't realize that when they were doing the referendum.
Right, right. Well, absolutely. When we think about that and citizenship too, yes.
I think that increasingly, it's, I don't believe it is yet entirely the case in the majority, but increasingly women are finding themselves bearing the brunt of the burden of caring for children because they end up in single parent households.
Yes.
Now, whatever the reasons are for that, if you want to address problems that are specific to women, that is one of those issues. And that has economic, financial, educational, and other social components to it for the woman. It is also, I think, a unique female woman problem of having children very early and having to care for those children without a partner fully present and involved. I think that is also a uniquely woman problem.
It is. It is. And, you know, and again, like you said, there are instances where the father, maybe there is a single father, but in most cases, people, you know, even just having conversations, look at us, right? You find that it is the child being raised by that single mother. It is the woman who may have began having children at a very early age who now struggles to take care of a child or children. And so in these instances, because as you said, the skew is more towards women, you find these unique circumstances or issues or situations that we begin to really talk about, delve into, get to the heart of these matters and really try to find that kind of support. If not, because in some cases there isn't a resolution as much as there is a means of education and support.
Well, we haven't gotten to this issue yet, but this is a texter saying maybe around the world. But I want you to listen to this, Laverne. Maybe around the world, but women are no longer discriminated in the Bahamas. Women are usually preferred for many jobs. Men are seldom hired to be cashiers. Men are hired to do the heavy lifting jobs and usually have to work late shifts at many businesses. Women are hired in the hotels and space cleaning, but most times the men have to work later shifts and lift heavy items, but get the same pay. Women say they can do the same job for the same pay, get the same title, but when it comes down to it, they don't. We have to recognize that. I ground women, and they said, don't ever class me with men, because we are different and want to be tested different. Respect to Women's Day, but women are no longer discriminated and get less pay for the same job in this great country. No, sir. Say, I meant to say they wanted to be treated differently. Okay? So, are women discriminated against in the Bahamas? Are they? In any way? Any way at all? Or do women run things?
The text actually made some good points, right? And so, you know, I'm not one of those who will just dismiss it out of turn. The texter made some good points. If there's a cashier's position open, and if a man wanted to apply, what is that reaction? What kind of type of reaction is that man even considered over a woman? But is it a situation where it's been typecast? Which could be a form of discrimination. You know what I mean?
There's certain positions. Like an executive assistant. Like an executive assistant.
Right. But and the person in the HR department or whoever is looking for that executive assistant, who's looking for that cashier, you are looking and considering more so your female applicants than perhaps your male applicants. So now what you've done is you've assigned certain roles, right? And you've assigned genders to certain positions.
But now let's even take it further, Laverne, because take a man. Now, I'm a man. I can tell you, right? When I think executive assistant, I could promise you, 9 times out of 10, my head did not flash to the possibility that some man would apply for this role.
Right.
Now, so like you said, am I and we typecasting that whole history of it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same way that if I said to you, if you were going to see a mechanic, I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
More likely than not, if you're going to go to see a mechanic, you're thinking that you're going to see a male.
Now, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. But here's a woman writing to say this now, and I want you to listen to it. A man wouldn't want the job of a cashier because, like most female typecast jobs, it pays less hourly. Now, that's a broad and general definitive statement. But, Laverne, unless I'm mistaken, you in Freeport, like me, or regularly enough, when you go inside them stores, there are male cashiers.
Yes, there are male cashiers in some of the grocery stores. And I don't want to say that a man wouldn't take it. I believe that he wouldn't necessarily be given the opportunity. He may just be dismissed out of turn, not that he didn't apply.
Exactly. But we can say, you can't say that a man will want it because, I just said, men are cashiers at any number of the food stores. I've seen them. I've been served by them. And at some of the restaurants as well.
Right. Well, I have a text.
We're going to take a break. Okay. Take a break, and then we'll come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shimabu Lang, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. But silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
I'm not afraid. I'm not Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where I'm joined by host of Mixed Views, Friday afternoons at 6 p.m., right? I didn't get that wrong, right, Laverne? There you go, Mrs. Laverne Gardner, and we're talking about women today as we celebrate International Women's Day. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043 or text us on 422-4796. This text, Laverne, says they are paid the same rate as female cashiers. Laverne, can you imagine that they're paid differently? I couldn't imagine that they're paid differently.
I don't think so. I don't think that they are paid differently. But I do have someone that texted and said maybe in low-end jobs, the lower end of the pay scale, there's no disparity. But in the senior and executive positions, there certainly is a difference in pay between men and women.
Well, but that's a statement being made with no proof, though. Okay, so we hear you as in a matter of some opinion stated. But unless you can refer us to something that can concretize that, there's no evidence of that. None whatsoever. Right. Even in the places in the United States of America where that's debated, there is strong arguments against how that's defined. Thomas, I'm sorry. I cannot accept, because you say so, that is true. You have to have something to reflect that. I mean, We hardly could know how people are paid, generally speaking, in this country. Right?
I just want to say it's so difficult to just find out how people are paid, not that you're looking to see if there is a disparity. You're just looking, you know, to see how people are paid, and it's so difficult to get that information.
Yeah, I don't know if any study has been done along those lines, but I certainly know of no evidence to support that. And so we can't simply just spout off these things without evidence and then try to establish them as fact in the country. This text says, let us not forget that more women have for the most part, held the highest positions in government ministries as permanent secretaries. They lead the largest number of people in this regard, and that is a fact. We talked about that yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
Right? We are 760-something percent of permanent secretaries are women. We know that for a fact. Right? This text says, lying in Kentucky, my cousin applied for a position. They said they only hire women for the position. That position, we hire men to clean up, mop, lift heavy stuff, not to serve food. Again, not knocking Women's Day, but while we try to honor our women, we turn the wheel and start discriminating the other way. Laugh out loud. Most people are in the unions, and I can tell you, everyone gets the same pay for the same position. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. The thing about it is, and on the other side of the break, we're gonna touch on some sensitive issues insofar as this is women are concerned. Because take as an example, we're not gonna do it now, but we are gonna touch it on the second half. Take as an example, I want concerns about the extent to which the issues of gender definition.
Impact upon
what we now are talking about when we say women's issues, right? But not now, but on the other side of the break. We're going to touch that. But here, from the texter's statement, here is what is true. It is true that some jobs seem better fit by women than men, and men than women, right? Doesn't mean women ought to be discriminated from applying for and trying for the job, but we happen to know both in terms of preference and in terms of fitness. There are some jobs that tend to be better fits for male than female. For instance, I can't conceive of too many countries considering that they should flood. And I don't see too many women pushing, saying, okay, let us be the majority in the army. I'm only saying, right? Now, similarly, it is known that in some factories where you have tedious work to be done, like even in camera factories where you're dealing with small parts and that require a lot of patience and detail work, the companies look for women because they demonstrate more capacity and patience to work in those kinds of circumstances. I'm only saying. So how does the realities of our biology and psychology insofar as they tend to skew a particular function in a particular direction, how do they fit into the issue of discrimination when it comes to saying, let me work the odds and say, I'm probably better off putting a man here, probably better off putting a woman here than putting a man here.
That's true.
Right? I'm asking. See, I think this is where people have to come to terms with what discrimination is. Discrimination, because we all discriminate, right? If I see something I have not known before, that I show a caution toward that thing is a discrimination born of my instinct as an animal to live. A stranger I do not know, I don't treat the same as a person I do know. So discrimination has its place in the survival of the species. And the fact that research says to me men tend to be more capable this way than women, or women tend to be more capable that way than men. If I then skew my recruitment process to reflect that reality, but if I say to a woman or a man, you can't apply for this job because most men are better for this and women are better for this, Then now I'm getting into discrimination, because discrimination is a question of equal access and consideration once the access is granted.
Right.
Did that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Because I think that we have discussions around gender equality that wants to deny biologies. And the fact of the matter is that even we in the practice of our lives don't deny biology. Because I can assure you, more often than not, I'm not saying all the time, when you are in your household and there's some heavy thing to do or some prowler lurking, now tell me who gets called upon.
Listen, Shibago, I am front and center calling my husband.
And similarly, in other circumstances, you call on the wife or the woman, right? So we're gonna take a news break. But when we come back, it can get hotter. All right, we'll be back after the news break. This is Z-Live. You're listening to Shibago Lang, your host, and I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner. We'll be back after the break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you. On the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I am here with Mrs. Laverne Gardner of Mixed Views, Friday, 6 p.m., hosted on Facebook, and you can catch lots of interesting and dynamic discussions with her that way. Laverne, you still there, right?
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
Okay, well, I want to read a few texts here before we go further. This text says, question, if it is accepted that the act of rape can occur within a marriage, is it logical to maintain the position that the police and society should not criminalize the act of rape done to a married woman by her husband on the claim that the criminalize such an act would undermine the sanctity of marriage? surely the sanctity of marriage was undermined by the act of rape. And surely if women feel that they will not receive the protection of law and will be treated as less than full citizens, they will choose not to marry, which undermines the sanctity of marriage. You got that, Laverne?
I think so. Repeat that one more time.
Yeah, says, if it is accepted that the act of rape can occur within a marriage, is it logical to maintain the position that the police and society should not criminalize the act of rape done to a married woman by her husband on the claim that to criminalize such an act would undermine the sanctity of marriage? Surely the sanctity of the marriage was undermined by the act of rape then, and surely if women feel that they will not receive the protection of the law and will be treated as less than full citizens, surely if they will choose not to marry, which undermines the sanctity of marriage. Firstly, for me, any violence perpetrated on a person, and rape is violence, whether it is lawful or not, any violence perpetrated on a person not sanctioned by the state, and some would even argue by the state, because if you hang somebody in our country, that has to be sanctioned by the courts, and therefore by the state, and that's violence. That hanging is a violence. So that's a legally sanctioned violence, right? Even corporal punishment could be regarded as violence to the extent that it is causing some physical harm to somebody. But again, there are constraints within which we can operate to carry that out. But any violence of the any violence or use of force to harm somebody outside, as I said, of those contexts, debatably outside of those contexts I just mentioned, forget the sanctity of an institution. Because, listen, institutions are made for people, not people made for institutions. So marriage, to say to me, you violate the sanctity of marriage, is to say nothing to me. Nothing. Because marriage in our context, in this context, only means a license issued by the state between two people. But if them same two people stay married and maintain that license issued by the state, but hate each other's guts,
then they are violated.
Forget the institution. They have violated the relationship the two of them have with each other that makes the marriage something.
I was trying to really understand if the text was then saying that it should not be criminalized.
No, I think the text is kind of making a devil's advocate argument, a reasonable devil's advocate argument. They're saying that on the one hand, if you criminalize this act, which itself violated the sanctity of marriage, then you will have women not wanting to marry, and that will itself violate the sanctity. But I'm pushing back against this notion. And I know the church have this thing about sanctity of, right? But Jesus said it. Listen, the Sabbath wasn't made for man. Man was made, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. He was prioritizing. When we have already breached the sanctity of the, what happens in the institution is irrelevant.
Right. Will we just, in order to preserve the image, the idea of it, do we just go along with it and not realize that it has already been broken? Because the people stay together, or because you do not have it be a criminal matter, then we are preserving the sanctity of marriage?
That doesn't
make any sense to me.
Well, let me ask you a question, Laverne. I ask you this question. Two people stay married for 100 years and spend 80 of them hating each other. abusing each other. What was sanctimonious about that marriage?
Nothing.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying, so if we don't criminalize this, if we don't, and it continues to happen, but the victim, and more than likely a female, is unable to press charges, so they stay in that relationship, then that's okay, because, hey, we protected the sanctity of marriage.
You know, you raise an interesting point. So if a man verbally and, well, if a man or a woman commits adultery, they can apply to the courts for divorce. If there is abuse, they can apply to the courts for divorce. But hear this now. Let's suppose anything that happens in a marriage to a woman who wants to get out of that marriage is that her husband continuously forces her to have sex. Are we saying that continuous forcing to have sex is not a grounds for divorce? Because there's no violation of the law?
Apparently, that is exactly what we're saying.
Interesting.
That is not enough. That is not enough reason. That isn't a grounds for you to apply for divorce.
This text is saying that what I read is what the head of the Christian Council said last night, that rape within a marriage must not be criminalized, he said. So this was in the texter's view. This was the texter saying this was the Christian Council's president's view, which makes the matter all the more curious for me.
have some opinions, some very strong opinions about.
Yeah, well, let's not have the murder rape debate all together, so that we don't get this wonderful day too caught up in that. But that is a significant issue for some women, for sure. Now, let's be sure now, Laverne. This is a significant issue for some women in terms of they believe in marital rape, and it is a significant issue for some women in that they do not believe in marital rape.
Right.
Okay, so let's not pretend that there isn't both sides of the argument for the same sex in that regard. By the way, having regard for the institution of marriage is highly appropriate. No question about it. That it is an institution to be respected and highly regarded is absolutely appropriate. But I don't believe it should bow to the relationship that makes that marriage a thing. Right? So this text here says, even in local industries, handymen, maids, construction, painters, car mechanic, food store cashier, shelf boy in the food store, they are all gender based. Yeah? Yeah, I can't argue with that. This text says, yes, this could be hot. If the women's movement is really serious about womanhood, then there are some women encouraging other women to embrace manhood with reference to gender change. Ah, so you want to bring us now to the Taylorverse.
Yes.
Okay, so
let's come to the thing.
Let's talk about the thing. So right now we know that in the world there is a significant movement and significant achievement of the ability of someone to change their gender, either and by virtue of a physical change and then identifying themselves as a particular gender. So now it has nothing to do with what, in quote, we naturally have come to the world with and so forth. I have to say I want to be regarded as a woman now, notwithstanding my history has been that of being a man. Whether I change my sex or do not change my sex, organ, I can come to that. Or it's more concrete when I change my sex, organ, and decide that I am now being asking to be called man or woman. How does that, to your mind, complicate the efforts of women in addressing issues that relate to them? Or is it just adding additional people joining their affiliation with women to the cause of women?
Okay, so I'm going to answer that, but I want to preface my response with a quote. Mm-hmm. And let me go ahead and read this. Every one of us who ever existed came into existence through women. We cannot afford to give precedence to the rights of others if we do not first successfully address and eliminate the inequities that exist throughout our diaspora and indeed throughout the world in respect of the rights of women. Let's admit that for this we need no redefinition of women. There is much to be done. And that is a quote by Dame Janet Bostwick during her acceptance speech at CARICOM.
Read it again, please.
Every one of us who ever existed came into existence through women. We cannot afford to give precedence to the rights of others if we do not first successfully address and eliminate the inequities that exist throughout our diaspora and indeed throughout the world in respect of the rights of women. Let's admit that for this, we need no redefinition of women. There is much to be done.
Okay.
So let me say that, building on that, let me say this. In addition to Mixed Views, as you know, I've also launched Hey Sis Empowerment and Resource Center for Women. Currently, I post moments of motivations. And one of the things that I said in recognition of Women's Day this morning was that we have to protect womanhood because womanhood, I believe, is under attack. We cannot have people who were not biologically women, who were not biologically born a woman, come in and tell us women what womanhood is, what it isn't, what it should be. When I look at womanhood and the fight that we have, what we've worked for, what we've achieved, I think it is a slap in the face for someone who has lived most of their lives, maybe, as a man, who now has become a woman, to now say and to feel as if they can dictate, this is what a woman is or isn't. This is what a woman should be considered. You are conflating and confusing our issues. How is it that you have a better grasp of what it is that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis as a woman, as a female? How is it that you have a better grasp, a better understanding, and you are better able to articulate what our issues are, and you've only been there when I've been walking in this body through all of its changes for 50?
But Laverne, let me ask you a question, and this is a really serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me paint a scenario. I was born, and by all appearances, and by all typecasting, I'm a male. I have a male genital. I have the structure of a male. I look like a male. For whatever reason, inside of me, I feel more closely aligned to the females around me than the male. I feel female inside. I'm only giving the argument that I've heard from some people. I feel like a female inside. I feel like a male inside. That's how I feel. No, I can't menstruate. No, I don't have a female's genital. I will never have a baby. But inside of me, I do not feel how I think a male feels. And I act out these feelings inside of me so that in many ways I am more feminine. And so now I want my body to more closely align with my soul, how I feel. What do you say to something like that?
I say that you need help. I say that there are some men who are more in tune with their feminine side, but my position is feelings do not trump facts. The fact is you are male. The fact is you are male. And while you can maybe empathize with the experiences of women, you can see and, you know, you understand to a certain extent what they may be experiencing. It is not your experience.
Because you are not
female.
So let me ask you another. Let me paint another scenario. I grow up because you talk about the female experience, right? Now, outside of those physical experiences, which people can't mimic. So let's suppose I grow up in a environment, and we know people have grown up in some very odd environments, where, notwithstanding I was born a male, I was always treated like a female. All my toys, all my clothes, everything. And so for all my life, I treated and thought of myself as a female, notwithstanding that I have a male genital. So I act like a female. I think like a female because my nurturing was as a female. Well, what becomes of that person if my experience now has entirely been that of a female?
Your experience has been that of a female as a male. That was the environment that you were in and you were raised in. Then again, you need to be able to get help because you've been abused. You have not been allowed to become who you were born to become. So,
okay, now you
are, but you, it still does not make you female.
Go ahead, Laverne.
Okay, there are unique differences between men and women designed that way specifically by God.
Like what?
And I don't mean I'm not just talking about genitals. I'm talking about the way that we are built emotionally, the way that we look at things. I believe that it was a design to complement each other.
Okay.
And so our emotions, let alone our physical abilities, the way that we process, there is a difference. And I believe was intentional. And so... Go ahead.
Sorry, we have a little delay. That's why sometimes I think you're done. And so I'm sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
You wanted to say something, go ahead.
No, go ahead, you go. You finish.
And so to deny these unique differences where you talk about what has happened to you is an unfortunate thing because now you have not learned to appreciate the beauty of being male. However, You are still not female. Even if you were conditioned to think that way, or you were conditioned to act that way, or that you were dressed in female clothing, I still believe that there are certain things instinctively, though, that would lean more toward the male gender, even though that was not your environment.
You know, for the people who agree with you and who want to show, in their words, the absurdity of the notion that having been raised a female, notwithstanding I have a male body, but I now identify with females, the question is this. What would we do with a household that raised a child to believe it was a wolf? And for a dog. And for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, this child was raised as a dog and now identifies itself as a dog. What would we say has happened to that child? Should that child continue and be allowed to continue to identify with a dog?
Fortunately, in the times in which we live at this point, there will be people who will say yes. Typically, people would be horrified. They would see it as abuse. They would want to know, who were these horrible people that would do this to this child?
Now, that's the person who was forced to be. Now, what if my child wakes up and decides he feels like a wolf? And so he goes ahead and does all the research he could do about the behavior and actions of a wolf, and then he starts to act like a wolf. He wants to identify as a wolf. Would my child be sent to a psychiatric ward or not?
In the days and time in which we live, probably not. There would be people applauding your child for their bravery because they know themselves at 5 or 3 or 10. But we would be like, no, this child needs some help.
Right.
Because again, what is happening is feeling is trumping facts. Your child says they feel like a wolf. What is your responsibility as a parent? Is it your responsibility to say, okay, because I love my child, then I'm going to say, since you feel like a wolf is what you are. Or are you feel like a wolf? And then go on to say, but you're not a wolf. Biologically, you are not a wolf. This is who you are.
Yep.
And let's through this, and let's talk through this. And let's get help if we need to get some help.
This texter says, I agree with your speaker. Many WASPs, that's the expression, WASPs, using these efforts to achieve more equality with racial and female minorities to advance themselves by being gender fluid.
Yes.
Yeah. Says, your son may feel like an airplane too, but if he jumped off the roof, the principal of Fox would demonstrate the truth. that's a fact.
It is.
Laverne, you know, we started this discussion on International Women's Day. We launched into some issues, but having regard to the conversation we just had, I want to, after we come back from this break, raise this question. In the 21st century, we're talking about International Women's Day. We're talking about women's issues. But in this gender-fluid environment in which we are evolving, what is a woman? When we come back from the break, maybe somebody could help me with that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed
marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now online at Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-77 or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahama.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we are celebrating International Women's Day, talking women's issues. I'm here with Mrs. Laverne Garden of Mixed Views, Friday night, Friday afternoons at 6 p.m. On Facebook, you can join her. Then, Laverne, this Texas says, I must tell you that the women who think they are men, there are women who think they are men. So I know you want to she wants to defend womanhood, but again, vice versa, does she have the same feelings when women think they are male?
Absolutely, 100%. I have the same feeling, but the focus is on women today. And so I have that same feeling. I have strong beliefs either way.
Okay. So I raised the question, what is a woman? You know, see, this is getting a little, especially if you start to go into, you know, academic circles and these activist circles, you know, fluidity of issues become really something, because now, we should deal with gender issues more so than we deal with women's issues or men's issues, because now you could fill out a form and they ask you, do you identify as male, female, or prefer not to say? because the environment now has become that fluid and people's rights are now at stake. But if you can have a declaration called International Women's Day, does that mean that it is only the day for the people who identify themselves as women? And that could be a man who has had a sex change who now identifies as a woman. What's a woman actually? Is a woman somebody who identifies themselves as a woman? Or is there some other definition? What is a woman? What happened, Laverne?
Oh, I just thought that you were putting that out there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I am putting it out there with me and you guys.
What I should say is I was waiting for you to continue.
No. I'm asking, what's a woman?
Okay, my definition of a woman is, if I say it incorrectly, then please, I stand corrected. But my definition of a woman is a person who has the XX chromosome and has reproductive organs, not necessarily that you are able to, and female sex, not necessarily you, in some instances, you may not, for whatever reason, may have fertility issues, but you have a womb, you have ovaries, you have a cervix. You have female organs. And you have XX chromosomes.
All right, so this person said that's defined by God, patented after Eve, taken out of a man. Says a woman is born, dad, a woman by a woman. What? A woman is born by a woman. By a woman? I'm not sure. I don't know. Says the creation story. But does the creation story get me to what's a woman, though? What's a woman?
Right.
That's what I'm asking. What's a woman?
Well,
all right.
Well, that's also some of the premises that I stand on as women. So to be considered a woman.
Go ahead.
I was careful not to go into feelings.
Now you did mention the XX chromosome. In fact, XX chromosome defines a female human being genetically. A female human being genetically is XX. A male human being must have the Y chromosome in his chromosomal makeup, must, to be a male. You could have XY or you could have XXY, XXXY, as long as the Y chromosome is in the genetic makeup, you are genetically defined as a male, right? Now, the thing about it is, you alluded to something that I think points us to somewhere, which is this. Words have meaning, do they not?
Yes.
Okay. So when I say hardwood, what do you think I mean?
When you say, sorry, you went out.
When I say hardwood, what do you think I mean? I mean wood that's hard, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When I say soft wood, I mean wood that's soft, right?
Correct.
Okay. When I say basketball, I mean a ball that's cast in a basket. True or not true?
Very true.
When I say football, I mean a ball that's kicked, right?
Yes.
By the foot. Well, when I say woman, do I not mean a womb man?
I never thought of it like that.
But that's the definition. That's what it means. It means a man who has a womb. So both the male and female are man, but one of them has a womb. And we call her a woman, a wombed man. Both man. But one has a womb. So if a womb man gets rid of her womb, then okay, you want to call yourself a man, okay. I mean, that's just in terms of the description of your status as a biological creature, right? The definition is you have a womb. And that makes you a man with a womb. Man is a person. You see, man is a person.
You removed it. The fact is that you had one.
Well, I mean, I'm prepared to don't go there with the debate, right? But I accept what you're saying, that clearly someone could say you were a woman, but if, I mean, I don't know if it's been that, well, even women who move their womb still identify as women, right? Because that's what a hysterectomy is, right? Is it not a removal of the womb?
Right.
Okay? Because that womb, that defines a lot of things for that man, that person. See, man means person. You're a person. But the question is, in the biological scheme of things, what kind of person are you? You are a person with a womb. Right? That's why every person, male or female, woman or man, has a dignity inherent to their humanity because they are both man. If you are a person who believes in the Bible says he made them male and female and called their name man. And people miss that. But the one man he made at first had no womb. But he took something out of the man and made a wombed man. Right? So, for me, from the beginning, even the language we use, is telling to the user. Because the language is describing the being. See, womanness and manness ain't about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. Womanness and manness, according to the words we use, was a question of your biological status in reference to a womb. Now, a womb is an incubating, nurturing biological and when you make something to nurture a life in the way that a womb does, the whole organism is constructed in a way to make that all possible for more than just the bringing forth of the child. Right? For a connection and longevity with the child that is, in some ways, divine, you could say. So, to minimize womanhood to a feeling is to deny one of the most, if not certainly one of the most unique phenomenon in the universe. To reduce it to the simplicity that where I feel like you feel. Well, the fact of the matter is my feelings could change with my thoughts.
What happens if you no longer feel that way?
Well, you could have a hair trauma that makes you feel differently. You could have a series of psychological abuses that could make you feel differently. You could take some drugs that could make you feel differently. And somebody suggesting that the status of woman or man could be so fluid as to be changeable by virtue of these external factors? I don't know. But all I'm saying is, if the words mean anything, woman is no longer a womb man, then let's change the word. And maybe that's why they can't now say gender. Well, what gender is here? Male or female? Okay.
Right. And then we're, you know, and then we, and that's why I'm saying it is under such attack. And we are trying to attach so many things to it. And then we've now started with, you want to have different references for women. And no, we're not calling mothers, mothers anymore. And we're not calling women who choose to breastfeed, breastfeeders, breast. We're not saying breastfeed anymore. And I'm saying that as a woman, all of the things, you have to be so careful, like you said, that we don't just relegate womanhood to being a woman to just what I feel.
Yeah.
Because then now, that takes away from who we are, because now we minimize it. And then not only have we minimized it, we have now started pushing forward women who were not born, who now identify as women. They are now being pushed to the forefront to be our representation.
This text says some Bahamians going to Canada to live using the claim that they are one of the other 17 genders that are not safe in the Bahamas. Let's be honest. The concept of having a, in quote, rent boy is common among sexual abusers who want to look after and keep a male prostitute at his, as his lover. Women who move their breasts are still women. Question, do men still see themselves as men minus testicles and penis? I guess the point is they don't call themselves anything else. Well, you know, and that's an interesting question about how men see themselves if they don't have a penis, because men have lost their penises. There's some have even removed it. And there are men who have no testicles and the like, right? But the only thing I would say the difference between that and a wombed man is we don't walk around saying he's a penis man. We don't say he's a testy man. We right. say she's a womb
just
man.
We say he's
though.
A man.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so the womb is a, and has been for whatever reason, from the etymology of the word woman, it has been, and it is as old as Genesis, however old that is, right? That this word to describe the counter to the man, this word has been, oman, right? This Texan, taken out of man, not womb. Agreed much more than a feeling, right? That I think the text is saying, it's saying taken out of man, but no, no. That means wombed man. That's what it means. Womb man. That's the word the woe referred to. Wombed man, right? And so, and what is a woman? I mean, how much more distinct do you get man from woman? Do they both have brains? Do they both have hearts? Do they both have lungs? Do they both have livers and kidneys and all that kind of stuff? the only thing that they differ in respect of the things they have in their body is yeah. the womb and the sexual organ attached to it, as in a vagina and ovaries. I mean, what else? You tell me biologically what is the difference between a man and a woman outside of the womb and those sexual organs and the levels of testosterone, of hormones that they produce in relation to the necessity of that womb and its function. What else is there different? Do they have different legs? Do they have different musculature in development, but they have the same muscles. They have the same teeth in numbers of in the normal circumstances. What else is different, Laverne? Tell me if you could remember. I did biology for a long time. What else? What else? What is in a man that's not in a woman? Or what's in a woman that's not in a man, saving for a womb?
And their sexual organs. Besides that, no.
But they are attached to the womb scenario, right? Not attached right. to the womb, but I mean as a part of that. The whole
outside of that.
Yeah, that's not. I couldn't think of a single other thing.
No.
All right? And so there is a definingness about that. And that is why
you cannot just relegate it to a feeling or even relegate it to emotions, because you may find a man who is, we say women are more sensitive, women are more nurturing. These are the things that we say, right? Women are more sensitive, women are more nurturing. So when you find this man who may be sensitive and very nurturing, then what? Is he no longer considered a man?
Well, that there is that discussion then that becomes a part of the woman versus man, male versus female, feminine, because the truth of the matter is we are all both masculine and feminine. What happens is, depending on our nature and nurture, mostly nurture, we tend to demonstrate or manifest the one above the other. It is not unusual.
Which part was most developed?
Well, it's not even a question so much of developed, but called upon at a given time. So let me give an example. In the hunter-gatherer environment, the male with his physical musculature, his physicality was more in demand for the hunting and the gathering and the what have you. So his masculinity manifested more, right? And then, you know, but if you change the environment for a male, for instance, there are some males who have come to have to raise their siblings after both parents die. And they take on that nurturing role in the way that the mother would have taken on, in the way they keep the home, in the way they care for the children, and all these kinds of things. And so from all appearances, they are as nurturing as you could find in any woman. So they have had to call on their femininity, as they say, more so in that circumstance than maybe their masculinity, depending on the environment in which they find themselves. But we are all both masculine and feminine. It's just a question of which dominates in the environment that we tend to get nurtured in. We have a text here, says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and to your guest. Interesting show. Sometimes a female can be born without a uterus and ovaries. Does this make a woman know if a child says they feel like a boy and has everything that a normal girl would have, then the parents would need to have some form of therapy for that child to see what caused the child to feel like that, as well as medical investigations to see what is going on, to see if it relates to the child's feelings. Today, everything is mixed up. We need to look at the whole picture. Very good show. Well, I certainly am not going to pretend that this is a simple issue. I believe that the human mind and the human psychology is rather complex, and both nature and nurture can play upon it to produce outcomes that even we don't ask for. And so, therefore, how we address it has to be done with some care and some concern and I think some humility that we don't altogether know. True or not true, Laverne?
Agree 100%.
Yeah. So, if you are out there and you are struggling, well, if you are out there and you have these issues in your life of what gender you are, or maybe you settled it and so forth, I am not going to sit in judgment of you, right? Because of the complexity of the matter. But by the same token, please don't sit in judgment of me if all my understanding and all my nurturing has led me to look upon you and see you as the thing I see everyone else who looks and acts like you as. So let's not be judgmental of each other, and then we can try to understand how this whole thing went together, you know?
Absolutely, and I want to, you know, because it is Women's Day, so I want to encourage women to keep showing up for yourself and keep showing up for each other. As I said earlier, I believe that womanhood is under attack. You may not share the same views as I do, and that is fine. That's okay. But what I am saying is we have to be careful that the voice that we put out there, the stance that we take, is really protecting us and not marginalizing our contributions to this world, to our environment. I believe that that is really important. Like, what is the motive behind this? You know, does this help or does this hurt? And when there are issues, we have to show up. It's not good enough to say they need to, or we have to show up for ourselves. We have to show up.
And chances are, if women show up, if you look at the political arena, if women showed up, let's just say in support of each other, they could make a difference. They could definitely change the scheme of things, right? If that's what they desire to do.
Absolutely. Well, 100%. I agree with that. Especially, you know, on matters that impact us. You know, another one of my things that we touched a little bit was when we talk about being able to pass on citizenship. Let's look and understand for ourselves, and then let's show up when we need to show up and speak up.
Laverne, it's always a pleasure. I thank you for answering the call today. I appreciate you. And again, a happy International Women's Day to you. And to all the women listening to us today, I trust and hope that you do well. God bless you. And again, Laverne, thank you.
Thank you, too. Always a pleasure.
Super. You all have a great evening, folks. You've been listening to ZLive. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again another time. God spares life.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, it's letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.